CliffCentral.com.
Justice Malala, the best political commentator in the country, waiting to tell us what's going on. I read his latest article, which is fascinating. He basically is trying to tell us that the president is not actually in charge, in his opinion. The president has been put on the back burner, and the Guptas are communicating directly with the ministers in their employ. Is that a reasonably good synopsis, Justice? It's a fascinating article. It's got a lot of interest on social media. Is that what you were saying?
That's kind of talk about the other stuff. I mean, I like six. Is anyone going to talk about the six teaspoons of sugar?
Oh, trust me. This is a big concern around here. It's like what brought Nixon down at Watergate. This is Sugargate, I'm telling you.
I think we need to talk. He's sweating.
All right.
Between the sweat and the 60 spoons of sugar.
I know. It's a very confusing situation, but we'll have them all come in and you can judge for yourself next week what's going on here.
Very good.
Yeah.
We need to get to, shall we say, the bottom of this.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's a good synopsis of what I wrote, Gareth. I just think if you look at some of the crazy things that took place last week, the week before, everything from someone like the Deputy Secretary of the ANC, Jesse Duarte, going on ANN7, and suddenly, boom, you know, she's worried about the holding of the Reserve Bank, and you know, that's why the it just seemed like people are being briefed all on their own to just do stuff. Museveni, the way he is so shameless about the fact that he lied about government, about cabinet, saying cabinet has approved that there be a commission, a judicial commission of inquiry into the banks. And then when being found out that he lied about that, said, even in Parliament today, he just said, you know what, just go jump in the lake, I'm immune. And quite frankly, I think he is, because President Zuma is not giving the orders. I think he's taking his orders directly from the Gupta family. And so he has absolutely no need to worry that he'll be fired or that he'll be brought to some kind of order. Otherwise, President Zuma would have called him straight up from Beijing and said, from Hong Kong, and said, you know, guy, I think it's time for you to think about, you know, hitting the road back to the Free State.
But
it's not going to happen.
But the presidency did release that statement on Friday, which distanced themselves and government from the comments of the minister. Is that not a bit of a slap in the face for the minister anyway? Flax, please try and improve this line. Just get Justice back in another line. This is terrible. People are getting frustrated here. I want to see if we can't improve the Skype line so we can talk properly to Justice. This whole technology is meant to help us, not hold us back, right, Mubs?
Technology has mood swings sometimes, and then you're just supposed to what's the phrase? Grin and bear it. Or
I think
something?
The phrase is blame Cape Town.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, is it a Cape Town thing?
I'm okay. I'm okay with blaming Cape Town for a lot of things. I'm okay with that.
Here are a few comments just while we're waiting for Justice to get back on the line. Akona says, greeting from the villages of Butterworth in the Transkei.
Hello.
Lindsay says, can we please take a picture of Flax to add to the Instagram account? He's the only one missing from that new Instagram account. Yeah, we'll do that today. Simba says, Sugar Jane did a great job on the phones the other day. Yeah, when Flax is away. And good morning, team from KC. I want to end the Batman and Superman debate forever. The latest Batman is Ben Affleck. That's enough to tell you that even Marvel don't give a damn about Batman. And that cheating lady of yesterday, I take my hat off to her husband for taking her sorry ass back. I would never take a cheater back. Anyway, great show. And who's the special guest today? It is Tokyo Sekhwale, KC. So hang on for that. Let's go to Justice, see if we've got a slightly better line now. and we can continue this discussion around Musa Benziswani and the president. Sorry, Justice, we had a terrible line there. Is this any better? Hello? Oh, my God. Hang on a second. You've got the wrong channel in here in any case.
Oh, dear.
Hello, Justice. Justice, can you hear
guys,
me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's a little bit better. This is not great either, but we'll try.
Mm.
All right.
I could hear you loud and clear. Terrible. Anyway, sorry about that. I'm not sure where you where I ended up.
Just about the presidency's rebuke of his statement, basically.
Yeah, no, and you know, look at that rebuke and how strong and definitive it was. And you could say, yes, the presidency did it and President Zuma did it, because he is the president after all. But he was away, and I think that statement came from the acting president, actually. And that was Cyril Ramaphosa. I don't think that the president issued that statement. So I'm not convinced that that our conversation and my theory is nullified by the fact that that was a real slap in the face for Museveni, because he essentially, in his behavior, just thinks, well, yeah, you can say all that, you can slam me down, but I'm not judged by you. I'm judged by a totally different entity, and that's the President of the Republic, and he might not be here. But he's coming back this week. It would be interesting to hear, when Jacob Zuma is asked about the statement, whether he says, it's outrageous, this man must account. Remember that Kosatu has said he must be called to account. The ANC, the Secretary General Gordimer Mpasha has said this is outrageous, he must account. And the SACP has said this man must be called to account. But will that happen when President Zuma comes back? You know, I'm spending a lot of money on you guys, but I'm willing to bet that it's not going to happen.
All right. While we're talking about the president, Pravin Gordhan back from China and said nothing's being done about the Guptas, but he's also, I've heard rumors that he may be arrested tomorrow. I mean, what do you think's going to happen here?
There are lots of rumors that he might be arrested. There are lots of rumors that he might be fired in the next few days. There's so many rumors going around. I no longer try to forecast whether Pravin will be here or not. I find his words back in February when he said that, you know, if I'm around in October, and I guess that was for the medium term budget policy statement, he said, don't know, I have political backing, not that I'll be out of here. And it's beginning to look increasingly he's a man under siege. To be honest, if it happens, I think it will catch so many people in the ANC by total surprise. I follow very closely on these issues. Someone like Zolin Kiese, the Treasurer General of the ANC, who I think has far more power, far more influence over President Zuma than many people account for. And Zolin Kiese made a speech at Sanlam 2 nights ago, in which he said, you know, we are fully behind President Zuma. Behind Pravin Gordhan, the ANC, the president, and so forth. Now, you remember that Zolin Kiese is the man who, after 9/12 last year, when Ganta Neno was fired, he's the man who traveled between Sandton and Tshwane, talking to President Zuma, talking to business people, talking to civil society, and saying, President Zuma, perhaps it's time to reconsider a decision to appoint Dobbs van Rooyen, the MK veteran, as the finance minister. And he managed to get him to essentially change that decision and install Pravin Gordhan. We know that President Zuma hasn't liked that. But I believe that, you know, President Zuma still listens to him. So in a way, I would say there's a mitigating factor. And that mitigating factor is that some of the words spoken by Zelensky. But, you know, quite frankly, anything could happen. Remember that Benny Nkameza, the head of the Hawks, wrote a letter to President Gordon about four months ago, saying, you are not a suspect, and we are not investigating you. Well, 2 weeks ago, we found that he has written a letter saying, come in for a suspect inquiry. Come in, let's question you before we charge you. That means that he lied to him when he said, you're not a suspect. He was just doing it for show. And we know that this is a man who has lied under oath, as Judge Matujani of the Pretoria High Court has told us. So anything could happen with the Hawks. I think if it does happen, they'll hold tight. You remember what happened in December when Michael back there in the studio said was in Europe and 9-12 was going to Europe and 9-12 happened. Mm-hmm. And the rand plunged to 20 whatever to the pound.
I know.
Nearly 20
His parents had to sell the other children just to pay for his trip.
Exactly. Well, I think any move on Pravin Gordhan will have a devastating effect on the rand and on the markets. And all of us will be talking to Anthea quite frequently because I think we'll get a big hit.
All right.
So the stakes are high if President Zuma goes that way or the Hawks try to arrest President Gordhan.
Justice, everybody's talking about political gestures and party politics at the moment with the change in some of the metros. People like Solim Simanga have decided to make symbolic gestures. Now, tell us about what the differences are between what Solly's proposing and what the ANC in the greater Tzaneen municipality have done.
Well, I mean, I think it's worth remembering last year when Pravin Gordhan said in Parliament, you know, people must fly economy class instead of flying business, we need to tighten our belts and so forth. And he flew economy class, and someone took a sneaky picture and put it on Twitter, and it went viral. Now, that was ordinary South African saying, we like what you're saying, we like what you're doing, and we will applaud you for it. If you look at what has been happening in the election with the ANC taking a beating in the metros, to be honest, it's people saying, we don't like what you're doing, and we will send you a message. So I think the ANC needs to learn from that, because if you look at what Solim Simanga did in the city of Tshwane, he comes in, he says, you know what, stop the buying of all these new cars, put a stop to the buying of all these luxury cars for all these for all his politicians. Mm-hmm. And because we don't want them, we don't need them, we can drive a Honda or a Nissan Corolla. And that's it. We don't want these fancy stuff anymore. They don't work. Then go to Tzaneen, where the mayor has just been bought a, I think it's 1.3 million rand car, a fancy, I think, BMW. And the speaker has been bought a 450,000 rand car. And say, you know what, people, you might not think that people are watching and listening, but down the line, people are going to say, you remember when Solim Simanga said, and the ANC went and bought the mayor of Tzaneen a 1.5 million rand car.
Yeah.
What's going on here? So, you know, people mustn't say the signs are not there right at the beginning. The signs are here. It's right at the beginning of the local government cycle. And I tell you, in the next 5 years, we're going to see lots of by-elections as many of these coalitions collapse and so forth. And people mustn't say they were unwarned, because what Solid Sinanga is doing is what people like. What is happening in Tzaneen, a municipality that is impoverished, that is full of poor people. I happen to know it because my grandmother and my parents come from there. And I'm telling you now, there will be consequences. And we won't be talking about, oh, you know, the clever blacks in the urban area.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about everyone, because that's the kind of stuff that is very important in politics. The way people, you know, what Solim Sinanga might have done might be a bit of political posturing and so forth, but it matters. It matters when you think of the publicity that was given to him when he said that no blue lights in the city of Tshwane. And, you know, those things count little by little. And people start saying, maybe I didn't give him my vote last time. I'll give it to him now. And people wonder why the DA has won nearly 66% in the Western Cape, because it does things like that. So I think anyone thinking about the 2019 elections, which is only 30 months away, they better think hard about the fact that it's very close. It's around the corner.
Apparently,
by elections are close.
Apparently, in the municipality of Imalahleni as well, the mayor just spent 1.5 million rand on a car.
There you go.
Yeah.
And you stop and say, what exactly is going on here? Why do they, you know, I would understand if the mayor failed to come in, actually, because it's a very rural area. Yeah. If they said, no, we'll buy you a 500,000 Toyota or Ford or whatever, these 4x4s, which don't break down all the time. But you go and buy yourself a fancy black car because you're the mayor and you need to show off. Quite frankly, the message feels all wrong. The message is very wrong. And Imalahleni mayor is exactly the same thing.
Justice, while we're on party politics, there was this march on the Thule House, the ANC fighting the ANC. They handed over a memorandum to Gwede, and what happens now?
Well, for me, that's the key question. It's what does the ANC do about it? Is it just going to be, oh, we took the memorandum and we're going to forget about it, or what happens now? So what you see happening now is that there are already lists being distributed on Facebook, particularly from the Northwest and Mpumalanga, saying these are the leaders we must choose and so forth. So the leadership contest is on. The contest to have a conference of the ANC is on, but I don't think we're going to have an early conference. I think the conference will still be in December next year. But the ANC is increasingly, from now on, going to be obsessed with the elective conference in the run-up to next December. And you're going to see contestation. You're going to see more fracture, people fighting about who gets on the list, who doesn't get on the list. So we've just come out of another election, and we're going into another very important one, and that's the ANC election. So expect to start hearing about Dr. Nkosazana and Dlamini Zuma, because she's top of the ANC list. I see, for example, in Mpumalanga, then at the ANC in Mpumalanga, lots of people talking about David Mabuza as the deputy president of South Africa. Expect to hear a little bit more about that. You'll hear about Cyril Ramaphosa talking to Nkosazana and saying maybe we should do things together. You'll hear about Zweli Mkhize talking to Baleka Mbete, saying maybe we should do things together. Certainly, you'll begin to hear Baleka Mbete's voice mentioned again and again, because if you remember, over the past few months, you've been going to places like the Eastern Cape, the Northwest, saying, oh, look at me, I'm here. So it's going to be another election is around the corner, and there's going to be lots of contestation in the ANC. For the ANC, I think it needs to deal with the divisions that have come after this election, or else we're going to see, again, another attempted march on the House. And it don't have a lot of numbers because people are intimidated, but it's not good for the ANC to be seen to be divided, which it is by now.
Justice, what about Robert McBride's victory at the Constitutional Court? What does this mean to you?
You know, we've just had a new public protector elected yesterday in Parliament. The key thing is the separation of powers. Who runs what? The public protector must do her job without fear or favor. The head of IPED, which is the body that looks at the police and says, you guys are killing people in Marikana, that's wrong, and we're going to send you to jail for it. That body as well needs to be above scrutiny, above board. And so what you've seen is the Minister of Police trying to interfere in their affairs, and it hasn't worked out well. So the Constitutional Court has upheld that, and I think it's absolutely key for people to start realizing that these are institutions that cannot be fiddled with, and people mustn't fiddle with them. And that's what the judge, the Constitutional Court, has said to the Minister of Police, who has been essentially trying to get rid of McBride because he doesn't like his politics. He wants to put his own person in, and he doesn't like the scrutiny that McBride and others have brought upon people like Benjamin Kameza at the Hawk. So I think you know, whatever we might say about this country when we are depressed and so forth, it's fantastic. We need more institutions like that, the public protector, IPED, all those. They must be independent and above politicians, and then we'll be a great country. So it's very good. If people want to smile and walk about feeling good about themselves, they must look at that Constitutional Court and what it did. It did exactly what it did with Nkandla when it said President Zuma must pay. It was essentially saying there are rules, there are laws, the Chapter 9 institutions, IPED, those kinds of institutions must be above politicians and must be able to deal with them when they need to be dealt with. So it's a fantastic thing.
Justice, time for just one more thing, and I know it's something you and I both agree on. Any country, any institution, any group of people, any single individual who burns books is an enemy of free thought, is an enemy of the people of a liberal society. At UKZN, just over the last few days, there's been unbelievable violence, destruction of property. Do you have any comments on that before we get to the rest of the programming?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, for me, Gareth, here's the thing. How exactly does a poor kid who needs to get into university, how are they helped by the burning down of a library at UKZN or anywhere else? They are not helped by all. In fact, the struggle, the fight for a free education for poor people is harmed by this sort of thing, because now you start the conversation and the first thing is, but why did you burn the library? Now, you know, people must be careful that it's a legitimate struggle. It's not sullied by this sort of thing. And I think for it to happen on the eve of World Literacy Day is just such an indictment on all of us, on all South Africans. And I just feel that we are not jumping up and down enough about people like this. The state needs to be clamping down, finding out exactly who did this, because it's not all the students who are protesting at UKZN, but someone knows someone who knows someone who knows who did it, and they must be found. But you know, I mean, I wish the SAPS was all over the place and finding that person, not harassing the student, but finding the person who lit that match. Because if we allow that to happen, I tell you, there was someone who tried to do the same thing at first. They didn't succeed, but they will succeed this time. And how is that advancing any struggle whatsoever? And if they are not caught, it will become an epidemic. We have to stop it. It's just appalling. It's absolutely appalling. And I just feel that people who will say, oh, you know, don't paint all the students with one brush. Well, someone needs to start saying, enough is enough. We can't have this kind of violence going on. I was at Wits on Saturday. A bunch of students stopped Adam Habib from speaking. So just the other day at UCT, Max Price was essentially nearly kidnapped because people didn't want him to speak. And that underlying violence in all these protests needs to be addressed. You might be right on whatever stand you take. You have absolutely no right to be violent and to stop others from speaking there simply because you are who you are. It's terrible. And I think that culture is what will set us back. So what happened at UKZN yesterday is just appalling. It needs to stop.
All right. Thank you, Justice Malala. The Burning Platform, it's brought to you every Thursday morning by Nando's. About a half an hour of us getting the latest in analysis from Justice on all the major issues in politics in the world. Always interesting, right?
Absolutely, fascinating stuff. Cliffcentral.com.